Hey fans, viewers, and listeners, welcome to another exciting episode of Fight Insight Podcast. I'm your host for today, Rain Cruz, also known as Ringside Rain, ring announcer for Up Next Fighting. And with me as always is Timmy B. Today, we will speak with the Fight League Atlantic Submission Kumite champion, Sarah Swayback Wilson. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Tim, hit it! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fight Insight Podcast.
Ringside Rain, we are back for another episode. Very excited, Rain, because my next guest, I had the pleasure of watching her compete just this past weekend and claim her fourth championship in a row at Fight League Atlantic Submission Kumite 6. Rain, and when she won, I did the Booker T four-time champion. I love it. Here we go. Our next guest just became the four-time Submission Kumite 6 champion at Fight League Atlantic. She is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu standout on the Canadian scene and has been competing all over the place, showing people what hard work and dedication can achieve. She recently appeared on Eddie Bravo's Medusa 5 on UFC Fight Pass. So you can go still and check that out and see her compete there. She had an excellent victory. She also had an excellent celebration. She like played it up to the camera. I love it. Every time she walks to the cage or to the mat, she's like dancing. It's such a positive spirit she brings. She dances her way every time with a smile, positivity. She's inspiring people all around the world. Rain, bring her in.
Please welcome Sarah Swayback Wilson.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Hey, guys. Yeah.
The champ is here. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
Not bad, not bad. You are out in, where do you live? Where are you located?
Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
Very, very nice.
We're just a little island out here.
How many people live on the island? Do you know?
I don't know, but not a lot. Like, I would guess maybe like 50,000, like maybe something around there.
Wow.
It's a small community. People got very mad at me on the podcast, Sarah, before when someone asked, was it, who asked me how many people live in Canada? Was that Drickus
Duplessis? Oh, was Drickus Duplessis? Yeah.
So that, you know, the UFC champion at one point, he asked me how many people in Canada. I had no clue. And then people were killing me in the comments saying, how come you don't know how many people? Sarah, how many people live in Canada?
I don't know. I'm going to guess 9 million.
Close? No, I don't think. Okay, I forgot again, but it's fine. But I don't think you're close. I think it's like the same population as California. Rain, how many people in California? Go.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is why I should not have gotten in trouble on the comment section for not knowing how many people. I don't know. Sarah Wilson, you are the champion yet again, four-time champion of Submission Kumite 6. It was an eight-woman bracket this time. How do you think it went for you, and what was your experience like?
I mean, all's well that ends well, right? So I ended up with the belt, so that was okay. I had some tough matches. Like, every single match I had to fight for. Like, I mean, my last one ended in a submission, but I think that she was the only one who had a dominant position on me. So, yeah, like, they're just never easy matches. I was super sore the next day, which I'm not usually after competing. I always think there's like a little bit more pressure with the cage events, you know, with you having like, I always have lots of people there coming up to watch me or who have paid to watch. There's always like the bit of extra added pressure about retaining your belts. You know, there's kind of like the drama spiced in with it. And then I usually am one of the more experienced competitors. So sometimes you feel like you're expected to win no matter what. So, like that, all that stuff kind of plays in your mind. So, I did my best just to go in there with a clear mind, just kind of, facing everybody just as an opponent. Like, you don't really think about their experience or their belt. You just kind of take everybody as an equal opponent. The worst thing you can do is underestimate somebody or, you know, be overconfident. So, I felt like they were really exciting matches too. I tried to open up a little more and be a little more like risky. Sometimes some of my matches I've just spent like the whole time in mount and stuff. So I just tried to like make the matches a little more exciting, which I felt like they were. So I was happy with the end result.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm just going to put up the little poster here that showed when you were the winner. So there is you, Fight League Atlantic, Sarah Wilson, kicking butt. Sarah, where do all your gold belts go? Where's the four gold belts? Where are they situated?
They're all around. So the first one was actually a ring for the men and the women's kumite. The first inaugural one was a ring. And then after that, it was the belts. So my ring's around just in my house. And then my first belt is at the gym. My second belt is at my house. And I brought my third belt into work with me today. I work as a street nurse. And a lot of my clients are pretty invested in my extracurricular activities. So they were really excited when I brought that in today. They're all like taking turns wearing it around and stuff. So it's fun to have it there.
That's awesome. That's really cool that I love that you're able to put different ones outside. Like I said in the intro, like you're very inspirational, Sarah, like especially like your personality and everything. I know when people watch you, I know my wife was watching and she was cheering you on because she saw you at the last one as well. So she was so excited. She's like, that's the girl that broke her tooth off, right? And I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah. Rain at the last submission kumite 5, it was like the finals match. Somehow your tooth cracks off into the other girl's skull, and that girl was spurting blood like a movie. Like, it was crazy. Did you remember your mouth guard this time?
Oh yeah, I had so many people message me and remind me the week of. I was just like, okay, I know, I'm bringing it, I'm sorry. So yeah, that's not a mistake you make twice. No.
And I do want to shout out, of course, I watched you on UFC Fight Pass when you were there at Medusa 5. And so here you are after your first Woo-hoo! Victory. Ringside Rain, who is the referee holding her hand up?
Oh, hi, Mike Bell.
Yes, that is Judge Mike Bell. Sarah, did you recognize that royalty that was holding you up there? Do you know who that guy is?
That wasn't, he was there, but he was alternating with a different guy. So that wasn't like Mike Beltran, you mean? So he didn't ref match. Recognize him. Mike Beltran was the other ref. Like, you know, the guy who has the big braids. Yeah, so he was the other ref. Yeah. I didn't recognize that guy. I didn't know him, but yeah, they had a lot of celebrities at that thing. There was like UFC fighters in the crowd. There was just a lot of like MMA and jiu-jitsu royalty at that event. It was a pretty cool thing to be a part of. And like, especially just being from such a small place, it was a pretty big honor to be there.
I know, it's crazy. No, that's Judge Mike Bell. He's been on this podcast before. He's a judge that does a lot of UFC events. So like,
oh, wow.
When they call out the decision, like, nine times out of 10, they'll go, Judge Mike Bell scores it. Well, that's him.
Okay, yeah, because I didn't recognize his face, but I do recognize hearing that, though.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy, and he trains jiu-jitsu with Herb Dean. So I know they hang out a lot. Yeah.
It's such a cool event. They did a good job of, just getting a lot of cool people, like the Claudia Galdea girl, who I always have a hard time saying her last name, but she was commentating, so I obviously couldn't hear it at the time, but watching my matches back, she was saying like so much good things about me, and it was just so like crazy having somebody who you've like looked up to like watching you and giving you compliments, and you're just like, it was just surreal. Like same thing with Eddie Bravo was one of my first kind of idols in the sport. Right at white belt, I had just always been a big fan of him and kind of what he stood for. And and he is like even cooler than you'd expect in person. He just treats everybody like they're an old friend. Like as soon as I walked into the place, he just looked over and recognized me from, we've only communicated over the internet. And he just was like, oh, Sarah, and just ran up to me and gave me a big hug. And I'm just like, hey, buddy, how's it going?
That's great. No, Sarah, I mean, can you imagine, like, growing up, did you ever think you'd be traveling the world, like, competing on worldwide television, on UFC Fight Pass, competing in jiu-jitsu? Like, was this a goal for you as a young girl?
Not as a young girl. I started jiu-jitsu pretty late. I started jiu-jitsu when I was 26, and I'm 35 now, so... But I do, and like I only really got serious about competing probably, like I always would travel and compete, like or travel and train and stuff. But it was about like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, something like that, where I kind of just started to get serious about it. And yeah, like I'm not sure, because on one side you do, like I did kind of always have that goal and that dream and that belief. But when like Eddie Bravo DM'd me to ask me, I was like, no exaggeration, just like squealing, running up and down my house, just like my lungs. And like the next morning when I woke up, I just like opened my eyes and was just like, started squealing all over again. Just like, I'm like.
But how does that happen? How does Eddie Bravo randomly find, like, did you apply? Like, how does that happen that you get in like that?
Yeah, he just messaged me. Like, so I've been, Well, like where I'm guessing it's from is that they'll put up pictures and say like, who's interested kind of thing. So like I look back in my messages and I've been messaging Medusa since 2021, trying to get on one of their cards, and they had never like read or opened any of my messages, but on the comments on this page, they'll say, that I don't think Eddie Bravo like operates the Medusa page. I think it's like a separate group of people that do that. But, on the last, every time they say like, oh, who would you like to see on the next card? Because they seem to kind of have most of the same, like a pool of girls that they take from that are in the upper. And then they seem to like pull one or two wild cards in every time. So I had put on my story like, hey, comment if you want to see me in this card. And I had a few people comment on the post, but I had also done that for every single other card that they had done. So this wasn't my first time doing that either. And lots of other girls had done it, like Mackenzie Dern had commented, Miranda Maverick had commented, like there was lots of big names right. That had commented, right? So I didn't think that I was gonna, yeah. And then he just messaged me and said, and then all he did was just forward me the Medusa poster in the message and then just write you in ? And that's all he sent to me. And I was just like, oh yeah. And then it took him, he gave me like a bit of details and he was kind of like, oh, more details coming. And then like quite a long time had passed, like maybe a couple weeks at this point. And then I finally had to read, I was trying so hard just to like play it cool. Like I know from doing other big events that these organizers are usually pretty busy and you usually get information last minute. And so I was just trying to play it cool. And then finally I just had to message him and just like, hey, like it's all good if it's like still coming, but like before I buy my ticket, can I just have you tell me for sure that this is happening? And like, and then he was just like, thank you for your patience. No, you're 100% in. Like, I promise you that you are, everything's good to go. And I was like, okay, so let's go. So that was my first like professional grappling event. Like I had won prize amounts before, but they like flew us out there, paid us just a show, paid for our hotel, all that stuff. So, yeah, it was my first, like that was, so now I could officially say I'm a professional grappler. So it was a pretty cool experience. The whole thing was just pretty cool. All the girls, a lot of us had our partners there, not a lot of us, but I'd say maybe half of us had our partners there as coaches. A lot of people in jiu-jitsu obviously like date within the community and stuff. So, we had made friends, and I remember on the way home, me and the second girl I competed against were in the Uber home with our partners. And then the two guys were talking and they're just like, it's so wild to me that you guys just go out there and like beat the shit out of each other. And then they're just like all like girl talk and giggling on the way home. We're just like, yeah, that's usually how it is when girls compete, you know, like we go and fight hard, but you're just friends after, you know, like there's nothing, nothing too like serious about it, you know, like, I did see the first girl I fought in the lobby of the hotel the next morning and I said hi to her, but then her face was like quite messed up from where I was striking her, and that felt a little awkward. I was like, oh, sorry about her eye was like all swollen and stuff. I was like, oh, sorry. Not really much to say there, but yeah,
and for those like listening and wondering why you'd be beating on them, it's because it was combat jiu-jitsu, which is where you're allowed the open palm strike. So I mean, that's like a whole different game, right?
Yeah,
it's very
like, we did train hard, like we specifically trained hard to focus on jiu-jitsu and not striking, because I learned from doing an MMA fight that like once you start punching, you just kind of throw caution to the wind and you just want to hit them so bad. And then I kind of messed up in my second fight. I felt like I was I felt like I could have won if I would have maybe focused a bit more on the jiu-jitsu, but I started drawing blood and I had her nose bleed bloody and stuff, and I just wanted that like highlight reel picture of somebody all busted open and I just started going crazy trying to hit them and just like, and then that was a close match. I ended up losing at like 9 seconds of overtime, of ride time and overtime. So it was, but whatever, it was fun. I just went out there to try to have fun, try to put on a good match. Eddie Bravo told me after that I did a great job and I'm welcome back on any card he has. So I'm waiting for them to announce another card and hoping to get back on another one. It was an amazing experience. Yeah.
That's amazing, Sarah. Congratulations. That's a huge thing because, Rain, we were going to talk about that post that one of our other guests put up about like the importance of like just like always being a good person, mm-hmm. always showing like your true character and stuff like that. And then things happen. You know what I mean? Like when you show that you're a good person, when you show that you're a positive person and stuff like you, Sarah, that's why Eddie Bravo's bringing you back. Right. Mm-hmm. Like if you're some jerk or whatever, or you just did whatever and then mumbled your way past. But no, yeah. Like you're such a character, the way you play it up to the camera. Like I said, like, I love it. Every time you walk to the cage, Sarah's like dancing and doing her thing. Like it just gets the crowd going. And it's like something that as a promotion, you're like, yeah, I like this girl because she's giving me content. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's something from, I've obviously been watching the sport for so long. And like, it's like, you just see other people do things and you're like, oh, like, you look so cool when you do that. I'm going to do that. And I want to look cool, you know? Like, so I just, even like on this last one, like, you know, sometimes people will like put their hands up to try to get the audience like yelling. Like, I've never really felt comfortable doing that because I never like, it seems like I'm like, oh, I don't want them to think I'm like conceited or something. But last when I was actually just at trials there, ADCC trials. So at the end of the day for all the finals, they have it's a huge show, production, walkout, lights, like everything. And the Tackett brothers were doing that. And I was just like, you know, like they don't just seem conceited. They just seem like they're having an absolute ball and just want us to have fun too. So that's kind of what like gave me the inspiration to kind of do that for the event this time.
Yeah, no, Sarah, it worked because the crowd was pretty good. The crowd was enjoying it. The crowd was pumped up. And then there was Sarah, like before the match, like going like that to the crowd and getting them to get louder. And it makes everybody have fun. You know what I mean?
Like, that's kind of what it is, right? Like, I feel like the more, like something I've tried to change my focus with competing over the last year is like, instead of trying to win, I try to have fun. Cause like usually if you've just like winning, you can't control winning. Even if all the cards are in your favor, even if you are the better fighter, you can't even always win, you know, it just doesn't work like that, but you can control having fun. And then if you're working on just having fun, then you had fun, whether you won or lost. So then you really did win either way, you know? So, getting the crowd to have fun and it like exactly like you said, not only does it help the crowd have fun, but it makes you look more favorable, not only to that promotion, but to other promotions. Like I have a lot of favor with Derek and John in FLA. They treat me really well. I try to really return that to them. And like even with the Medusa, Derek actually like knows the organizer. So he was always saying that he'll like put in a good word for me, you know, just because, I think he just knows like how much I want it and how like, you know, hard I am, how willing I am to work hard to get those opportunities.
No, Sarah, it's so awesome. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy. And then again, cause Rain, like even her fight kit was red and white, like Canada flag. So like everything was so cool. And she has the Fight League Atlantic across her chest. So that was awesome. Like I was so proud of you, Sarah. And then not only that, but guess who announced her as the winner in her fights, Rain?
Ooh,
our good friend TJ DeSantis.
Oh, whoa, that's awesome.
And so when he was saying your name, because Sarah, we've had him on the podcast, and that dude is great. Did you get to talk to TJ DeSantis?
No, the event kind of like finished really quickly, and there was like another event happening. So I thought that, like, so they had kept saying that after the event, there was going to be like, it was at a nightclub, and I don't know. I thought that I was picturing us all like having a casual beer and chilling, but it turned into like an actual nightclub with music. So there wasn't as much like time for like socializing after the event as I was kind of hoping for, you know.
Wait,
like
were you allowed to hang out at the club, or they're like,
get out of here? Like it was like a literal like nightclub with a bunch of like teen, like, you know, young people lined up inside and like really really loud thumping. It was like a club, and it was just, we had all went there planning on staying and socializing, but it was just like the kind of where you can't communicate or talk, and it was dark, and we all had like our gym bags and stuff, you know. So it was just kind of like, okay,
It's like the kind of club that Rain goes to every night.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I gotcha. Sarah, yeah, TJ DeSantis is the coolest. And I do want to give a shout out to TJ DeSantis because when we had him on our podcast, Sarah, the nicest dude, and I asked him for tips on like commentating and stuff because I think he's one of the best in the business. You know, he's the voice of Invicta FC and he's done it all. Yeah. I love the way he speaks and everything. And he took so much time to like help me and give me advice. Like, I really love that guy. Great, great individual. If Eddie Bravo asks you if the earth is flat or round, what would you say?
I literally told my boyfriend as we were walking in the venue, I was just like, no matter what happens tonight, the earth is flat. Like, cause it was our first time going to meet Eddie. And so I was just like, no matter what happens, we just say that. The venue went pretty quickly. And like, I just really tried to, I saw TJ, I saw Claudia, I saw Eddie. I did obviously chat with Eddie because he was like the organizer and we had to chat, but as like desperate as I was to like want to take like selfies and pictures of everybody, I was like really trying to establish myself as like a professional athlete mm-hmm. who was one of them and just like tried not to like go the fangirl route. I just kind of wanted to be an equal, like just kind of let my present, like my performance and stuff speak for myself. So yeah, it was hard. Like, cause even at one point I did think like, I'm a huge fan of Eddie and I did really want a picture, but like, after the event, there was a literal lineup of people waiting to talk to him and take selfies. And I was just like, I don't want to like, I just don't like, I don't know. It just like didn't feel right. You know? Like,
Yeah. No, you got to play it cool, Sarah. You got to play it cool.
Exactly.
You
know? That's I mean, what I'm like. Oh, like Eddie, I'll see him again. We're friends now. Just like, yeah, drop him a line.
That's the thing. And Sarah, you know what? You're going to wait next time you go there. Guess what? Claudia Gadea, she's coming to ask you for the photo, Sarah. Like, that's what's going to happen. Exactly.
Yeah, she was a really cool person, too. Sorry, one.
Oh, so the champs got stuff going on. What's
I have dogs, and they just always choose this timing to go crazy.
No worries. But yeah, no, I mean, Sarah, I'm so happy for you. Rain, is there anything that you want to ask the champ?
Yeah. So on your Instagram profile, it says you will travel for jiu-jitsu. Do you have any places like on your bucket list that you want to travel to for jiu-jitsu?
Well, like my dream in the sport is once you kind of have some notable wins under your belt, they'll pay you to go do like jiu-jitsu camps, you know? So you can like they'll have them in like Costa Rica, Bahamas, Greece, Thailand, and stuff like that. So sometimes I almost feel like I'm trying to get success in the sport, not even for the successes, but just for like those kind of opportunities after. I do have a dream of trying to go to Thailand in the next like year or so to do kind of like go to one of the camps and train there for a bit. Unfortunately, right now all the big events keep landing in Las Vegas. Like I've been to Las Vegas the last year, so I would love to go somewhere else besides there. but just kind of taking the opportunities as I can get them. I'm gonna take a couple months off of like heavy competing just to heal my knee up and fit. I'm in my last semester of school right now, but already kind of eyeing up some competitions for later in the year. I just feel like I'm like so close to the top. I just need to like nail one or two like just like really notable wins, and then I think I could kind of start getting some traction. We're so lucky with Fight League Atlantic because I mean I'm sure you've been to them, you've seen them, like they run really high level events. So when you go to these other places, you just feel like you've done it before. Like even Medusa, like right. I would say that like the stage and the lights at Medusa were pretty fancy and that commentators, but you were still just like shoved in a little backstage room. Like, you know, you just like, I still think that Fight League Atlantic is just one of the most professional organizations I've ever competed for. And I've competed for so, so many big ones now. Yeah, exactly. Like and I always try to tell that. And I always say it on my own Instagram page. And when I do my speech, like I just try to always get that across to the athletes that like, if you're not only is it just a fun opportunity to do, but like, if you have any aspirations of doing something in the sport, we're so lucky to have something so big on such a local level, And not only is it big, they actively try to include new up and coming athletes. They don't, it's not like a niche thing where you have to have know a guy who knows a guy. They'll kind of welcome everybody in. I moved from the West Coast and there was nothing like that over there. There's still nothing like that over there. So we're really lucky over here to have such a like incredible promotion like that.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you two last questions, Sarah. One is at the end, when you got your championship belt and Craig Ferguson was in there, the cage announcer, and he was saying, "What's next?" You said, "I want to fight in MMA again. So we need some girl to step up." Is there any girl that you want to beat up specifically, or are you just open to all comers? Like, cause let's go.
Like anybody at 125, I'm happy to fight. Like, I mean, I have loss.
Wait, hold on. I missed you there. What's the weight class?
At 125, I fight at.
Okay.
So I've only had one fight so far and I lost a split decision. So like, I would obviously love to fight that one again, but I think she's dropped down to 115 now. But yeah, I'd be happy to fight anybody. Like I'm not like jiu-jitsu is kind of where my long-term goals are. I really think I would only probably do one, maybe two more MMA fights. Like it's just more for the experience for me. If I would have won my one fight, I might have not even had another one, but like, you can't only have one fight and lose and not do any more, you know, like,
yeah,
I would just like to try it again just to win. But, at the same time, like if I keep getting jiu-jitsu opportunities, it's not the end of the world to me if I don't ever fight again. But, it just like, you know, I'm a bit of an older athlete, so you just kind of want to like get it in while you can before there's a lot more longevity in jiu-jitsu than there is in MMA.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. But okay. So if you're a 125er and you dare to step into the cage against Sarah Wilson, you dare. Then hit up Fight League Atlantic, I guess, is where you would take that fight. So hit up Fight League Atlantic and go say, and then we can see Sarah beat you up. You know what I mean? So come get some.
When you're saying it like that, who wouldn't put their name forward?
Someone who wants the experience, someone who wants to see what they can do. You know what I mean? Like, let's go. Last question I'm going to ask you, Sarah. It's a question that my mom used to ask me all the time growing up. So I'm going to ask it to you. We ask it to all our guests. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
Overall, I would say pretty close to a 10. Like, I mean, I feel like I wouldn't even want to say a 10 because that means that I'm not trying to improve or anything. I'd say overall I'm rocking like an 8 to 10 on a day-to-day basis. I still like have struggles with mental health and every now and then I dropped like -4,022 and that's okay. Like, you know, that's fine. I used to spend a lot of my life in the negatives and, I've done just a lot of work on maintaining the positivity, learning to look for the positivity, and just trying to find what's good out of life and chase those things. Cause it can just get so like dark sometimes, you know? So when you can find those, that like light and that happiness and stuff. So, competing, I'm really lucky because competing kind of, keeps this consistency in my life. It keeps me, going to the gym every day. It keeps me, eating well. It keeps me exercising. And I find that, I'm just lucky to have that. Cause when I'm not competing, like even like in the 3 days, I don't have any competitions coming up and I've been off of competitions for 3 days and I've ate like my body weight in fried foods and chocolate. And I'm just like, okay, I gotta get myself in order. Cause like, it just goes downhill so fast. Like, but yeah, jiu-jitsu has always just been like that for me. It's it just helps kind of keep all my edges in neat. And so I'm really lucky to have it.
That's awesome, Sarah. Well, I'm so glad to have you on the podcast. You know, I've been a fan of yours ever since the first time I saw you. And I'm so excited to see you on Fight Pass. I'm so excited to see whatever happens next to you. Rain and I will always be cheering you on and we'll support you in whatever you do. So congratulations. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Is there anything that you want to say before you go or anyone you want to shout out?
No, I just, yeah. Thanks to you guys for having me on. I've loved meeting you. It's great seeing you. Your energy is very like apparent and infectious. You can just see the love that you have for the sport and stuff. It's great having you. Shout out to my gyms, RDC and Sprawler Brawl. And shout out to my partner, Jesse, because I didn't shout him out after my speech at the weekend, which he was quick to point out. So thank you, Jesse.
Yeah. Do not forget that. That's very important. But Sarah, thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure. Every time that I hear your name, I always think of this song, though.
I can't hear what song is it?
Can you hear it?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. It's the Snoop Dogg song. Because every time he goes, laid back with my mind on my money. But I always think, but in my head, I'm always hearing sway back.
Now that is what I'm gonna hear every time I use the word. Funny, actually, just random funny story about my Instagram name when I made it. Like, did you guys ever hear of the beer, like James Reddy? They have like little sayings under their caps. So back when I was like 10 years ago, whenever I made it, I was with a bunch of girls who convinced me to get Instagram, and I popped a beer and it said sway back underneath it. And then that's just what my Instagram name was. And it just hasn't changed. Like there's absolutely no thought or reason behind it.
Hey, I like it. It's still good. I mean, my co-commentator Dave on the mic was referring to a sway back the whole time. So I like it. It's a good name.
It's became part of my identity now. So
that's it. I know you can't get rid of it. That's it. It's over. Sarah Wilson, thank you so much for joining the podcast. We will definitely love to have you back on again in the future, and we will see you soon. And good luck in all that you do. I can't wait to see you all around the world teaching jiu-jitsu seminars. If you want Sarah for a seminar now, go freaking hit her up. Oh, let me put your, let me put your Instagram at the back. I'll leave this up here for the rest of the show. Swayback, SWAYBACKK. Go find her on Instagram, follow and support her now. And then when you want your jiu-jitsu seminar, tell your, whoever to hit her up. She'll come down. She'll teach a seminar. Let's go.
And she will travel to you.
We'll travel for jiu-jitsu. Yeah, let's go. All right, Sarah Wilson, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
I love that she says she will travel for jiu-jitsu because brought me to this. And I know I showed this to you earlier. This picture right here. You know why I printed this? I have this in my office because that's UFC in Madison Square Garden Madison Square Garden. And I told myself I will only go there if I'm working at Madison Square Garden.
You will only go to Madison Square Garden if you're working?
If I'm working an event, yeah.
Sweet. I love it.
I'm manifesting this.
Manifest it. Of course. Sarah Wilson, again, go check her out. If you haven't seen her fights, I mean, obviously go find her at Fight League Atlantic all the time. Like, she's competing there all the time. But in the meantime, now you can go to Fight Pass and go check out her fight. Go to Medusa 5 and you'll see her two fights on there. She was fantastic. And she represented herself so well on that grand stage as a Canadian, as a member of the East Coast community. You know, like, so cool, man. Rain, let's talk about friends of the podcast. Next week, who's our guest? I don't know. We were supposed to have a different guest, or we were supposed to have two guests today, but unfortunately that kind of did not work out. So thank God Sarah showed up and came as planned. But next week, trying to figure it out, trying to see who we'll get. Maybe we will have a returning person to the podcast who may be holding a gold belt. Ooh. Jade Picasso. Rain, does she have a nickname?
Stone. Jade Stone.
Jade Stone Picasso. I want to change her nickname. I want to change her nickname, and I've already told her. It should be Jade the Art of War Picasso. I like that nickname. That's my name. Because like Picasso, right?
Well, maybe Jade will hear this podcast on Thursday. And when she listens to this, she'd tell me on Saturday, hey, I have a new nickname.
Switch it. Yeah. Yeah. Jade, the Art of War Picasso.
The Art of War Picasso. I like it. I like that.
Kick ass. Anyway, she competes at UNF. And then, of course, Khalil the Real Pearson, he competes at UNF this Saturday.
The real one.
And guess who's announcing?
Me! Ringside Rain. Yes, Ringside I'm excited. Rain. This Saturday, UNF 18, April 20th at the National Orange Show Fair in San Bernardino. Tickets are still available, so please go get them at upnextfighting.com.
Get it. Go see Rain. She doesn't charge too much for autographs.
And then, no one asks for my autographs, by the way.
They will. What else do we got? We got some of our friends of the podcast were competing on the weekend. Very important. Bobby King Green.
Oh.
My favorite fighter of all time. Puts on one of the best fights of his career, maybe. This dude freaking kills it. And I'm so happy for Bobby Green. So happy for Bobby Green because of who he is, everything that he represents, the kind of guy he is. When he was on our podcast before, he talked about, because I said, the UFC really loves you, man. They always give you great fights. And he goes, ha, 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 ha. And then he said to his coach, he's like, did you hear what Tim just said? He thinks that UFC likes me and gives me good fights. He goes, no, they always give me like fights they want me to lose and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't think so, dude. Like, that's a really negative way to think about it. Then he gets this fight at UFC 300 against Jim Miller. Again, I could see how in his head he's going to go, but they wanted me to lose because they want Jim Miller to get a win. And, you know, he's been at 100, 200, and 300. But no, Bobby flips the script, even if that was the script. Freaking amazing performance. So Bobby Green, so happy for you, my friend. That was freaking amazing. Fantastic.
And yeah, then, that was a great bout. I remember messaging you like, are you watching this?
Do you know how my Instagram was lighting up because people were like, Bobby Green. Like they were lighting up. I am going to try to get Bobby Green back on the podcast one day. Like if somehow 17 bolts of lightning hit me at the same time, then I'll hit him up and try to get him on. You know, like I've got to be that lucky. But to have him on once was a dream, but to have him on a second time would be insane. Now, what else we got going on? So next week, we don't really know who we're going to have. Friends of the podcast, I think that's all the shout outs, right? Let me just check. Oh, no. Of course, I have to say thank you to RageWorks Podcast Network. We're on there. So go check out RageWorksNetwork.com for audio podcasts just like ours. Mm-hmm. And then at FLA 14, where I was, the mummy, Abdel Adelaziz, you didn't meet him. He was on our podcast last week. He won his fight in incredible fashion. Dude, that guy is an absolute monster. 3-0 in his professional career. Ooh, now.
Wow.
The guy is not stopping. Brian Bam Bam Barbarina and I had him on last week, Rain. And what a guy. Not only that, we were doing fight picks for UFC 300. Bam Bam and I were going around, and then Abdel came in while we were halfway through the card. Abdel comes in and starts making his picks. He went 8 for 8 on his picks.
What?
He was 100% accurate on all his picks. So I'm going to call him up every pay-per-view and get his picks. I'm just going to bet whatever he says. I'm going to make millions of dollars.
I need to ask him for some lottery numbers.
He went 8 for 8. I did beat Bam Bam. I think I beat him 9-7 or something, or whatever the hell it was. But I beat Bam Bam, so that's good. What else do we have to do now? Let's see. I want to talk about this, Rain. UFC 300. We had a girl win. Ba-bam! Kayla Harrison comes in from the PFL. That's a woman there, Rain, just in case you're checking. Kayla Harrison comes into the UFC after years and years and years of not competing and wins over Holly Holm. Mm-hmm. Did you see that fight?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I was hoping more, I was hoping to see more action. I felt like it was just mostly on the ground too. Mm-hmm. I was mostly rooting for Holly too.
Because?
Ever since she, defeated Ronda Rousey, I've kind of just liked her in general. You know, I've kind of seen her interviews after that, and she always looks so humble. So I think I'm just more attached to like the personality. And I mean, she has like the skill set. So, but yeah, like when I watched the fight, I just, I was hoping for both of them to kind of like get up, but I felt like it was mostly like on the ground.
Well, that's what Kayla's going to bring to the table. Right now, Rain, here's my question. She's been not competing in the UFC until last weekend, which was her debut. She is quite the physical specimen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that from the press, from the weigh-ins?
Yeah.
That image. Well,
like one of the press things, whatever. Okay. Right. So if you're on audio, I'm just showing a picture of a very jacked Kayla Harrison. Rain, Holly Holm has been competing for the UFC since 2015, I want to say. And I'm pretty sure that she was one of the highest tested athletes. Like, I remember back in the day, because Holly Holm's got a good physique, you know, very strong herself. She was tested quite a bit by USADA back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
USADA came to UFC in 2015, and that's when Holly began. So pretty much for the last 9 years, Holly has been under USADA rule, right? Or the high expectations of the UFC. Kayla Harrison has been in wherever, PFL, whatever, right? Wrestling, doing whatever. I would argue that the drug testing in anywhere else is not as tough or stringent as UFC. Okay?
Okay.
Just go with me. If Kayla Harrison was using any secret juice for the last 15 years, or sorry, for the last 9 years, while Holly Holm is 100% clean,
mm-hmm.
Do you think, even if Kayla were to now pass some tests, do you think that she would still be reaping the benefits of the last X number of years on perhaps some secret juice?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I've never had the secret juice.
I love that you're going to argue with me on this. Okay, what? What are you going to say?
No, I said I've never had the secret juice, by the way. But no, I don't think so. Are you implying that that's why she kind of like dominated the fight at UFC 300?
So to tie this in, Bobby Green, when he lost to Islam Makhachev, he didn't make any excuses. But what Bobby did say is that Islam felt stronger than anyone he has ever competed against.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he generally said something along, I'm paraphrasing and blah, blah, blah. Okay. But he generally said, those guys out in Dagestan in the mountains are taking a bunch of secret juice since they're like children.
Okay.
So sure, you may stop now, but the physiological changes or physiological benefits that stuff might do to you over those years will last beyond after you stop. It might clear out of your system, but your body has already developed or strengthened or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, even if it's just something that allows you to continue to do more and more weights and more and more weights and whatever. I mean, yeah, so then it goes out of your system, but your body, like the muscle doesn't just go away.
Yeah.
So you're saying you think that if you were to have partaken in anything for the last 9 years, while Holly is 100% clean, as far as the testing would show, you think there would be no remnant benefit?
I mean, but just by looking at her physique, I mean, obviously it affected her, you know, it's contributed a lot to her physique, right? But like in terms of...
Wait, hold on. We don't know that she was taking anything.
Oh, that's the thing. Yeah, we don't know that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay, but go ahead.
If you're saying that if that was the case, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah.
He had benefited from it if that was the case, right? But, you know, I feel like I've also seen athletes who have taken the secret juice and they look really jacked. So like with her, I don't think she was taking it. You know, cause I feel like for her, she looks like she's just been working out a lot and maybe drinking a lot of protein, but,
you think that this is from protein shakes?
I think so. I'm working out a lot. I mean, she's an athlete. You should post a picture on the Fight Inside Instagram and ask for people to.
I did, Rain. Thank you for following. Rain, I did. And I said, hold on, where's my post here? Did I do it yesterday or today? Let me go find out the results. I posted a video of her competing And I said, unrelated to the video at all, because I don't want to, you know, go to jail or anything like that or get in trouble. But I said, unrelated to that, if Holly has been with UFC since 2015 and has been clean under USADA that whole time, could someone potentially have been not under those strict conditions and potentially benefited physiologically for years before now going clean to compete? And the results are 78% say yes, 22% say no. I mean, my question is more medical. I'm not talking about her per se, but I'm saying medically, and this is, goes to the Bobby Green with Islam thing. If people take drugs like their whole career, and then you switch over to a clean organization, it's still kind of bullshit. So what I really don't like is that, like, you know, you come in now to UFC and you beat Holly Holm and you want to say you're on even playing ground, but I don't know that you are, because Holly's been under a very strict regimen for the last 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that anybody else was. So that really is, it's tough pill for me to swallow.
I see.
Even if she fights Amanda Nunes, right? If Nunes comes back out of retirement, which I think is a bullshit fight too. But if Amanda Nunes comes back, okay, Nunes was under these rules for a long, long time too. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know that you should be able to come in at the tail end of your career and then start mopping up our legends when you're this. Like, that to me is very weird.
I see your point.
But you're saying get lost, too bad?
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't want to, like, because, like, I just don't want to give the impression that, oh, like, one, that she was drinking the secret juice, right?
Because
don't know that. And then, you know, I don't want to take anything away from what she had done. I mean, she won at UFC 300. And so to me, it's just, you know, if she had taken secret juice and she benefited from it like years ago, she's clean now, you know, then good for her. But I don't think, I just don't want it to take away from like the victory that she had at UFC 300.
Okay. So we're kind of like, we're not talking about Kayla. We're just talking about the scenario in general, right? But even if you think like something like if Holly got injured in the last 9 years, she's got to be very careful over what she takes to get better. Okay. So let's say she takes stuff that they're allowing that can, you can get you better, blah, blah, blah. Right. It might take her, let's say, 6 months to get better. But if you're another guy in another organization and you get hurt and you don't have the same stringent rules, they go, well, here's some horse steroid. And then you're back to being better and you're back to training. And now you get an extra six, you know, you get an extra 4 months of training on top of her. So that, you know, in X number of years, you've now got 3 years and 4 months of training and Holly only has 3 years, right? Like, even just those little things, like all those things add up. So like if you haven't gone the same route to get where you are, I just feel like it's
I see.
It's the same as people jumping the line. It's the same as like, you know, Jake Paul boxing for billions of dollars and these boxers that work their whole lives to get there don't. They're bitching and complaining because they're like, well, you didn't work for it like I did. It's kind of like the same thing. I don't know.
Well, I do know. What?
You think that's natural, though. I've never seen anybody that looks like this, guy or girl.
She's also flexing hard, though, in that photo.
Look at the chest. I mean, good Lord. She also has very nice hair. I'll say that. I mean, her hair is A-plus hair.
No, in that picture, she's really, like, flexing hard, too.
Rain, go flex hard, and let's see what we see. No. Do that exact same pose.
I'm not an athlete, so... I will not get close to that picture. But I do know of a secret juice that you and I both have. And I will be trying for the first time.
Yeah.
That is a great segue.
Look at that. You're the segue queen.
Magic mind. This is the first time that I'm going to try this.
So this was, they sponsored our podcast many moons ago. They were wonderful to us. You know, we put out some great videos for them. Really, really good. Do you want to talk about this? Do you want to do the product spot? How are you doing this?
No, I'd let you do that because this is going to be the first time that I'm going to be trying this. So,
yeah, I mean, go hit them up, magicmind.com. Let's say it's that.
Are you going to drink yours right now?
You're supposed to take a shot every day for like 2 weeks or whatever. You can buy them. I really liked it. It just makes you more alert, makes your mind focus a little bit more. I swear to God, honestly, I really did feel like I benefited from it. This one I left in my fridge this whole time. I forgot to take my last day, or I must have missed a day. So there's one in my fridge, but really good. Rain. It's got matcha, which you like, a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, you want me to cheers? Okay, hold on. This is good for the audio listeners. You can watch us cheer.
Here you go.
Okay, ready?
There you go. Cheers. Do we drink the whole thing?
Yeah, whole thing. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go.
Okay.
I like it.
One sip. Hang on.
Oh, my God. Amateur.
I know.
It's good. I like it.
I like the taste.
It's more citrusy than matcha, which I like.
Yeah.
I definitely had no problem drinking this every day. So it's like better cold. I like it cold.
Mm. It's really good. Yeah. I like the taste of it.
Yeah. I'm starting to.
I've had some green shots or juices before that tasted just like, you know.
Yeah. So how did you get this? They were at your event or what's going on?
No, it was at a local grocery store. So I saw it and I was like, oh.
I thought we were doing this impromptu commercial because this was going to help you get a sponsorship or something. Is that not what's happening here?
No, that's the thing. No, that's the reason why I got it was because I remember you talked about Magic Mind. So when I saw it at the grocery store yesterday, I was like, oh, Tim said, you know,
you bought it or you got it free?
I bought it and then technically I bought it. I'm waiting for my reimbursement because I got it as a free trial somewhere online, but I just submitted my receipt.
Oh my God. Okay.
It's a free trial from Magic Mind.
Rain, go hit them up and see if they'll sponsor us again. Tell them we want to do another 10 shows or whatever. I think we did 3 shows because we did it the first shot, we took it, and then the 7th, and then 1 week after how you're feeling after 1 week, and then we do 2 weeks to see how you're feeling after the 2 weeks. Are you still drinking it?
I know. I'm not good with shots.
You're minimizing the effects.
Okay.
Yeah, your mind should already be blazing alert. All right. Anyways, let's talk about one other thing because we do have a little bit of time. Rain, they posted this after the UFC Atlantic City event. They posted this. Atlantic City Boardwalk Hall attendance was 12,000 people for a gate of 2.18 million.
Woo!
Right? Very proud of themselves because they weren't in the stupid Apex. Okay. First of all, that card was so good because there's a goddamn crowd. And they make 2.18 million from the gate.
Wow.
So, Rain, why would UFC not be doing in-person events every week? I mean, that was a fight night. That wasn't a UFC numbered pay-per-view or anything like that. So why wouldn't they do, question to you, you're in the business, you're a hot shot. Why would they not do a live event if they can make 2 million every week?
Well, I think it just comes down with like logistics, right? And then I feel like most of the planning probably they do it for the UFC numbered pay-per-views, right? Because those are like bigger events, right? So I feel like it's just much easier for them to do the fight nights at the Apex, you know, because it's, you know, everyone's there, you know, because the UFC facility is in Las Vegas. The Apex is in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. If they want to step it up, I mean, they could probably go to like a bigger arena for fight nights. But the problem, I think, would be, you know, then that would mean more planning and more people involved. And I think, you know, with some of the fight nights, I don't know if, are they all like sold out events? I think that's like the fear too. Like, are they going to sell out like each fight night event? I think that's why they don't want to go to like bigger arenas right away for fight nights. Because I remember.
I mean, hold. Okay, let me just explain to you. The UFC at Atlantic City was the main event was Aaron Blanchfield versus Manon Fiorot. Rain, I know you don't watch. No, you watch a lot of UFC. Nobody cared about them. That was not a main event that anybody cared about. So if you can sell out, or I don't even know that it doesn't even necessarily say that it's sold out, but if you can make $2.18 million off of Aaron Blanchfield and Manon Fiorot, you're going to make $2 million off of Timmy B versus Rain Cruz. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're going to make it because it's the UFC. The UFC comes to your city. You're going to go freaking watch.
Yeah. True. I totally agree.
Okay, here's another question. How much money does it cost to put on an event in Atlantic City? Like, even if you just had to guess, like, what would their cost be in general? Do you think it's $1 million?
I don't know. Probably not.
No, of course it's not $1 million. I was joking.
No, it's like too much.
So how much does it cost to, like, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, like, $500,000?
That's probably too much too.
Okay. But even if we say $500,000, right? Which, okay, let's say that covers everything, all the flights for everybody, the fighters, the hotels, the whatever, right? The meals for your staff or whatever. Even if you said 500,000, like, you're still making $1.5 million than by having it at the Apex. And I would think that the number of fans that you engage and that you get more motivated, and you think about helping the fighters grow their fan base.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By being in person, meeting way more people, I bet, in Atlantic City than you would have if you're in the Apex. I don't know. It's crazy to me that they wouldn't continue. Like, with that kind of selling, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe, you know, down the line they will do it, because, like, I would like for them to kind of go to, like, different cities for fight night and then feature fighters from that area.
This is what I mean.
Oh.
This is what I mean, because then, you know, when you pull in, because here's the thing too, like, sometimes when you go to the local spot, you bring in local fighters, right? So if you're fighting in, you know, Michigan, you might go get some fighters from Michigan, right? At least on the undercard or something, right? One or two. Well, guess what? Their whole friggin' family is going to come. Their kindergarten teacher is coming. Their priest is coming. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's coming to see them. You engage all those people to now become a fan of your product.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge, you know, for these people. UFC posted, guess what the gate was for UFC 300? Money-wise, how much do you think they made?
Probably double than, you know, the one that they made for Atlantic City.
So you think $4 million?
Maybe. 3 to 4.
$16.5 million.
Oh, wow. I mean, I bet, because, I mean, just like ticket-wise, that's going to be insane.
Yeah. $16.5 million. I mean, I feel like that is the two opposite ends of the spectrum. UFC 300 versus UFC Blanchfield versus Fiorot. You know what I mean? Like, that's the two ends. So you're making minimum $2 million. Maximum $16 million.
Yeah.
I don't get how it's even a thing. Now, Rain, did you see what Dana White said when they asked him about the PFL tickets?
No.
You didn't see that?
No.
Okay, that was freaking hilarious. So at the press conference, I didn't tag it for a video because I didn't think we'd be talking today. So a reporter talks to Dana White and says something about PFL tickets or something. And Dana White just starts laughing. And he goes, are you kidding me? Like, PFL was, he goes, last week the PFL was in wherever they were for UFC 300. Must have been the T-Mobile Arena. Maybe it was the same venue. I don't know. And he goes, are you kidding me? He goes, did you know PFL was here last week? Like, talking to media, like, goddamn, they should know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he goes, they were selling tickets, buy two, get two free. And Dana was laughing. And he goes, that is real. Like, I'm not making that up. PFL was buy two tickets, get two free. That's how bad they are. Like, that's crazy, Rain, if that's true. They can't sell tickets. And they can't sell tickets. Can you believe it?
Well, I do believe it. It's just that for me, they just merged with Bellator, and I think they're just trying to kind of build up their brand. So they're not as established as UFC. So it's kind of like sad that, you know, they have to do that. But at the same time, it's like, if that's their way to like gain, you know, more people, or more following, you know, for PFL and the fighters, you know, I'm all for it. I mean, yeah. Look, if I lived in Vegas and like my friend tells me, hey, I have like a free ticket to PFL and got nothing to do, I'll go.
Maybe. I mean, unless you're busy.
Well, I know, if it's something for me to do, like, why not?
You might have choir practice. You could have anything. You're just like, yeah. No, but I mean, that's great. Oh, that said, this was a mistake. Friends of the podcast update, impromptu friends of the podcast update. Impa Kasanganai.
Oh, yes, he won.
First round finish. Kicking ass. He's on his way to another $1 million. So good for him. Good for Impa. Yeah, Rain. I mean, that's crazy, though. It speaks volumes over like how these places are doing, because how do you not know that PFL? I mean, if you're a mixed martial artist fan, like you said, if it's in my town, if it's in my city, I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So how can they not sell tickets? It's insane. It's insane that you can't sell tickets. You shouldn't need to. Because, I mean, think about Vegas or whatever, like Cirque du Soleil or whatever. Those things are selling tickets all the time. You put on a PFL event, you can't find people to come to your show?
Well, that's the problem. Vegas is like, that's a good thing and bad thing about Vegas. There's so many, there's so much competition in terms of like entertainment, sports, you know. But I feel like if PFL were to go to like some city that doesn't have that much action, that's like the only thing that happens on a Friday night, I bet you they'll be selling more tickets. Because it's like, oh, what can we do, like, you know, tonight? It's a Friday night. Oh, there's this PFL MMA thing. I don't even know what this means, but hey, it's
so
something
for me to do. So where were the people? How can you not get people?
No, all I'm saying is that in Vegas, where they were for their last event, there's so much, you know, competition in terms of like sports and entertainment. And here's the thing. That event happened, what? Was it like a week, exactly a week before UFC 300, or like a few days before UFC 300? People probably have bought tickets already for UFC 300.
Yeah. Anyways, Rain, I just realized my computer is going to go to sleep. So,
oh God,
I'm going to go get my thing. Hold on one sec. Hold on. Hold on. Stupid thing.
I'm going to show off my Magic Mind bottle. There you go. Magic Mind, hit us up at Fight Inside Podcast at Ringside Rain. We would like to get some sponsorships so that way we can actually drink this every single day. There you go. Hit us up, Magic Mind. Hit us up.
Yeah, where the hell's Magic Mind? Give us some money.
Or some free stuff. Yeah. No, I would actually, you know, like to try this, you know, for... Did you say you have to drink it for 3 weeks?
No, 2 weeks, I think.
2 weeks, okay. No, I'd love to try this, like, you know, for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
It was just kind of, like, pricey because it was, like, I think $4 or $5 per bottle.
Yeah, that's why you asked for a sponsorship.
Yeah.
But anyways. Yeah. All right, well, Rain, all I'm saying is that it's weird. And I'm continually getting into arguments with people online, because I keep saying that they're going to fold and 1FC is going to fold, and people keep yelling at me. But buy two, get two free is like what Blockbuster did before they went under. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you're right at the edge there, because promotions rely on seat sales, and I don't know.
Well, if they're still up and fighting, hey, more power to them.
I know, because we need a place where Rain can be the ring announcer. That's the thing. Maybe they got to shake it up. Maybe they need ringside Rain as the announcer to like create some buzz, get the Filipinos.
Or bring you in as a commentator, you know.
Yeah. We'll travel for commentating.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, ringside Rain. Is there anything else that you wanted to say? promote, talk about?
Oh, make sure you guys check out UNF 18 this coming Saturday, April 20th at the National Orange Show Fair in San Bernardino, California. This is the first ever Up Next Fighting event right here in the Inland Empire. So please go check it out. We have a bunch of rising stars who will be showcasing their talent this coming Saturday. So please, please, please go get your tickets at upnextfighting.com.
Get it. Go see Rain. And you've got like, it looks like you've got war paint on, but it's your blind. I know. Shooting light.
All
right. Go check out Up Next Fighting. I'm going to create a, I'll create a reel of that for you, Rain.
Like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, we'll do that. And all right, that's it. We're out of here next week. Who knows who we'll have, but we'll have something exciting. And that's
it. Maybe we'll have some more Magic Mind, our secret juice.
Yeah. And and Rain will flex on the show next week after 1 week of taking Magic Mind. You just, you'll see how natural it is, Rain. All right, we're out of here. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week.
Bye.